Welcome to A Course in Miracles, Living the Love, Walking the Talk with Reverend Jennifer Hadley. Get ready to focus on your intent to be the love, be the peace through practical application. Here is your host, Reverend Jennifer Hadley.
Bonjour, bonjour. Well, here we are, just before Easter, and I am feeling so ignited with spirit, and I am grateful to be able to share in this podcast with you and connect with you across the airwaves. Time and space is not a limiter to us. We get to connect anyway. So thank you. Let's place our hands on our heart and be grateful and thankful that infinite intelligence is our essence and our nature. We're willing to be complete and done with the crucifixion. We are willing to rise up in the resurrection of our true nature and our true identity. We are willing to let the past go and to be in the present moment now. Hand on my heart, I declare my great willingness to see and know and feel and hear correctly with clarity, to let the illusions and delusions of the past, unworthiness, all the perceptions of unworthiness dissolve and resolve permanently back to the root cause. We are grateful to give up the projections, the complaints, and to know clearly that the love of God is what we are, that we are already as holy can be, that we are already perfect. All false beliefs fade. We share the benefits with everyone, and we let it be. And so it is. Amen. 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 So let's get into it. Calming the mind. So I live in the Green Mountains of Vermont, been here since the spring of 2020. I live in a very rural area with farms around me, lots of acreage, the national forest all over the place. I live on a dirt road. It's very calm and peaceful here. And we've got bears and bobcats and coyotes and things like that that, you know, are some interruptions. But it's a very quiet existence in the external of my life. For now, I live alone. And so that there's a lot of peace in that. And but I connect with a lot of people all around the world who are going through stuff pretty much every day. I'm connected with them through the Power of Love Ministry website, powerofloveministry.net. That's our new site. And in the classes and programs that we offer, one of the main things that I'm focused on is supporting people in quickly, without too much effort, giving up the attachments to the false beliefs that cause the distress, the recurring distress, and the recurring sense of unworthiness, not enoughness, and all the forms of upset that I used to be plagued by. And having learned how to get out from under that, I'm interested in sharing with others how they too can get out from under it. And my great joy is to train people to help others do what I am doing. So counseling, teaching, leading, guiding, facilitating, speaking, all of those things. And so my number one thing in my life really is understanding that the truth sets us free. It is our liberator. And the truth is always available to us. If we are not at peace, it is because in every instance, no matter what is going on, if we are not at peace mentally and emotionally, it is always going to be because we are believing something that is not true and we're doubling down on it. Instead of recognizing, oh, I must be upset because I'm believing something that's not true and I don't have to. So Ernest Holmes, the founder of Science of Mind, the great mystical teacher of the science of mind that I studied for years, he said in the Science of Mind textbook that healing does not take time. The only time it takes is the time that it takes to have a realization of truth. So, A Course in Miracles tells us that our willingness is all that's required. And a small willingness will bring us small but definite results. A great willingness will bring us great results. And the results that we're looking for, the results that we're talking about, are the peace of mind, the joy, the freedom, tapping into, tuning into our natural state, our true identity, and letting go of the imagined identity, the false identity, the fabricated identity, the one that we have so carefully constructed, like a house of horrors. So realizations of truth are what A Course in Miracles would call miracles. That's exactly what they are. So it doesn't take time to have a healing. The only time it takes to have a healing is the time that it takes to have a miracle. Miracles don't take time. They have nothing to do with time. Nothing to do with time at all. There's that bogus saying, healing takes time, time heals all wounds. No, time is inert. In fact, one of my favorite quotes that I've shared many times is from Martin Luther King Jr. in the letter from the Birmingham jail. And in there, he talks about how the white leaders of the church were, the Baptists, as I recall, were asking him to stop doing the nonviolent actions and to just know that time will heal everything. And he said, time doesn't heal anything. There's nothing in the nature of time that is healing. And that is the truth. So we're waiting on nothing. Usually what happens over the course of time is people will either ferment their grievances and grudges, their complaints, or they will recognize that their complaints are hurting them, sucking their life force out. And so then they may give them up, release their attachment to them. So healing doesn't take time. Time doesn't heal anything. But what happens over time is some people decide that they've had enough suffering and they go the other way. So it's got nothing to do with time. It's got to do with I've had enough suffering. I can't hold this white, hot, burning, painful, poisonous thought anymore. And then if they are willing to let it go, to be healed, to see differently, they will see differently, and then the truth sets them free. So there's a beautiful section, chapter 3 of the text, which is the innocent perception. Love that. And section 6, which is called judgment and the authority problem. Paragraph 3, it says, you have no idea of the tremendous release and deep peace that comes from meeting yourself and your brothers totally without judgment. So I will tell you that for the last 20 years, this is what my life has been about. Meeting my brothers and myself without judgment. Learning how to do that. Disciplining my mind to do that. Allowing myself to do that. So part of my journey has been recognizing that if I judge myself or others, I will be in pain. And I made a decision to love myself enough to stop hurting myself, to stop the painful thoughts, what I call getting on the pain train of thoughts. So it goes on here. When you recognize what you are and what your brothers are, you will realize that judging them in any way is without meaning. If it's without meaning, it's without value. That's my add-on to that. So there's no point to it. The only point is to see how much pain we can cause, how separate we can feel, how powerless we can feel, to hold on to the victim identity, to stand with a spear in our hand and say, I am a victim. I'm being crucified. I've been betrayed. And all of those statements are affirming separation, hence the unconscious guilt. When we are dedicating ourselves to holding on to grievances and grudges, then we are dedicating ourselves to separation. And that's not good or bad, but it is painful. And ultimately, we will totally give it up. Everyone will, absolutely. It will all dissolve. So we can do it sooner or later. We can be part of the front line of people who are doing this, or we can be in the middle or the back or whatever we feel like. So, but it is very much tied to our identity. Our grievances are always tied to our identity. And that's why this section is called Judgment and the Authority Problem. Who is the authority? What is the authority in our heart? Is it love or separation? Is it that I'm better than and I'm less than? Or is it unity, oneness? Is it God or ego? What is the authority in my mind? So you have no idea of the tremendous release and deep peace that comes from meeting yourself and your brothers totally without judgment. When you recognize what you are and what your brothers are, you will realize that judging them in any way is without meaning. In fact, their meaning is lost to you precisely because you are judging them. All uncertainty comes from the belief that you are under the coercion of judgment. Think of that. All uncertainty comes from the belief that you are under the coercion of judgment. So that's similar to conflict, what A Course in Miracles teaches about conflict, that all conflict arises from saying you want the peace of God, but choosing something else. All uncertainty comes from the belief that you are under the coercion of judgment. That the judgments have value, you're subject to them, but we're not subject to judgments, opinions. It's something we have to agree to. Other people's opinions and judgments about us can only affect us if we agree to them. So remember, all conflict arises from saying you want the peace of God and choosing something else. So this is my basic practice here, recognizing that if there's a tiny bit of conflict, a tiny bit of irritation, a tiny bit of, oh God, then I'm not choosing the peace of God. I am choosing the judgment. And I can be in that choice point. I don't have to get on the pain train. It goes on here. You do not need judgment to organize your life, and you certainly do not need it to organize yourself. That's what I've been teaching all these years, that opinions and judgments are not helpful to us because they are not the truth. The truth is helpful to us. The truth is our liberator. If we're upset, we don't believe the truth, we don't know the truth, we are influenced by judgments and opinions ourselves or someone else's. If we agree to somebody else's judgment, it becomes our own. So if you think about anything in your life that you're confused about, anything in your life that you're unsure about, here is the answer. Here is the answer. All uncertainty comes from the belief that you are under the coercion of judgment. So what does coercion mean? It's when somebody is trying to coerce you, they're trying to get you to do something, they're trying to get you to see something, to believe something. They're trying to force you, compel you to do or think or feel whatever it is that they desire. So it's an outside thing. But there is nothing outside of us. There never will be. That's the whole thing for us to remember, is that there is not one thing outside of us, right? But we are tempted all the time to think the good is outside of us, the happiness, the love, everything that we want is outside of us. No, no. It takes a great willingness to give up all the ways that we've been trained, but it doesn't take a huge amount of effort when we have a great willingness. So that's why, for me, our focus is on cultivating the great willingness. So that means interrupting the patterns over and over and over again throughout the day. I'm never upset for the reason I think. I think I'm upset because my sister is being mean to me. No, I'm upset for other reasons, like I have a deep belief that I'm unlovable, and my sister's being mean to me is proof that I am unlovable, because if I was lovable, she wouldn't be mean to me. And I'm also upset because I am so angry at my sister that she's being mean to me, that I am thinking nonstop attack and defend thoughts about her, about us. And so my mind is totally focused in fear, in hurt, in anger, in resentment, in betrayal, and there's no love in my mind. So how could there be any peace? Again, it says here, you do not need judgment to organize your life. So if you're making decisions based on judgment, go the other way. And we do it all the time, make decisions on judgment. So tempting to say, well, if she's going to treat me like that, I'm not going to her house for Easter. I'm not going to bring the special bread that our mother used to make. Screw that. I'm going to give her the cold shoulder. Or I'm going to go there and just be so pissy that she'll know how mad I am at her. Well, where's the love in that? There is no love in that. And we would only act that way if we feel unworthy of love, to have, give all to all. Whenever we withhold love, we will not feel worthy of love. Feeling unworthy of love is the one thing in this world that causes all suffering. And yes, it's separation. But when we are choosing to be unloving, we are igniting the unconscious guilt. We feel guilty for not being loving. And we don't even realize that we feel guilty for attacking God. Because when we self-attack or attack anyone else, we are attacking God. So you do not need judgment to organize your life, and you certainly do not need it to organize yourself. How many of us are entrenched in a mindset of motivation with attack? We motivate ourselves to get things done by saying, oh, you're so lazy. You're unbelievable. You better do this. If you don't do that, you're just good for nothing, et cetera, et cetera. Motivating ourselves with attack thoughts. That's what is meant here. You do not need judgment to organize your life, and you certainly do not need it to organize yourself. Catch this. In the presence of knowledge, all judgment is automatically suspended, and this is the process that enables recognition to replace perception. So that's why being interested in the truth, being willing to let go of our attachments to our complaints, our grievances, perceptions, and projections, and instead focus in on what's true and what's real, then what happens is miraculous knowledge enters into our awareness, or another way, it's revealed in our awareness. So realizations of truth are miracles. When we're willing to put the attack thoughts down, lay the weapons down, then we're willing to choose peace. Peace is already there. But if we've got weapons in our hands, how can we know that the peace is there just beyond our perceptions, projections, judgments, and opinions? But it's always there. Peace is always there. But we can't experience it unless we choose it. All conflict arises from saying we want the peace of God, but choosing something else. So just think right now in your mind, where do you still feel that you were betrayed? Where are you still in crucifixion mode? Because you cannot have a resurrection when you're still interested in crucifixion. And all crucifixion is, of course, judgment. That's what it's about. It's 100% what that's about. That's what betrayal is. Betrayal is a judgment. It's when we are looking at things incorrectly, when we see ourselves as betrayed. That's why it takes a great willingness to say, okay, all my sister's attacks feel like a betrayal, but those attacks would not resonate with me. They would not hurt my feelings if I felt worthy of God's infinite love. And when I feel worthy of God's infinite love, that is my true nature, I will not see the hurtful words as crucifixion. Oh, I've got so much more to say. I'm on fire! All right, I'll be right back after this break.
Thank you for tuning in for A Course in Miracles, Living the Love, Walking the Talk.
We're back. We are talking about rising up above the crucifixion, giving ourselves back to our right mind and calming the mind from buying into all of these attack thoughts. Oh my goodness. In the presence of knowledge, all judgment is automatically suspended, and this is the process that enables recognition to replace perception. So when we know the truth, we are free from the judgments. We're free from the complaints. We're free from the conflict. Because if our sister is attacking us, just to finish what we were talking about before the break, when we can recognize that they are sending a screaming cry for love and that it is our spiritual responsibility to be truly helpful and recognize that, and then go to the one who knows, that higher Holy Spirit self, and say, what am I to do here? How can this be brought to the light? How can I serve the light in this moment? See, that's the calming of the mind, to not take it personally and to realize their attack is a cry for love. I am born to love. I am made of love. Love is what I am. That's what I can teach in this moment. That's why it takes such a great willingness to not react from the old space, but instead to go first to spirit, say, I'm grateful that I realized I have a choice here. I don't have to react from the past projections and perceptions. I can be in the present moment now where the love is. And that is what I am choosing. And I am grateful to choose it here and now. That takes a great willingness until it doesn't. Because the more we practice it, it no longer takes a great willingness. It's our knee-jerk reaction. It's our go-to, because we do not wish to be upset. Now, think of the responsibility for sight section that says, I'm responsible for what I see. And I've given everything all the meaning that it has for me. I choose the feelings I would have. Now, until we accept that as the truth of our day-to-day experience, we will feel like victims. So, I am responsible for what I see, how I make meaning of it. I am responsible for generating this experience with my sister, my brother, my mother, my father, my children, my spouse, with anyone and everyone. Because I just can honestly say I used to be the queen of taking offense. I took offense at everybody all the time. And it took me decades of my life before, of making myself miserable for decades of my life, before I finally recognized I don't have to take offense. I can see this as a cry for love. It's not directed at me personally, although it seems that way. It's not personal. This person is not in their right mind. This person does not see what's going on. So the more I was willing to accept the truth of the situation, stop criticizing, stop complaining, all of that, then I could be the peace of God in that situation. And then it wasn't hard at all to see what was going on and to recognize the cry for love. But as long as we blame other people for our feelings, as long as we think that they're doing things to us, the healing that we desire eludes us. So there's a beautiful place in the Course, chapter 18, section 6, right at the beginning. And it is so helpful. I was talking about this not too long ago, and it's right before the section, I Need Do Nothing. So it's from the section, Beyond the Body. And it begins with, there is nothing outside you. This is what you must ultimately learn, for it is the realization that the kingdom of heaven is restored to you. That word realization there. So there's nothing outside you. God is not outside you. The world is not outside you. Everything is a part of you. Everything is a part of us. That willingness to accept that realization sets us free. Because then we can't be a victim anymore. If the world, if our sisters and brothers, if our jobs, our thoughts, everything is within us, the kingdom of heaven is within, and all of our thoughts about everything are within us, generating our experience, we can go the other way. We can have a healing. Do you see how liberating that is? We don't have to wait. We are not dependent upon others to have a realization in order for us to live in the awakened mind. God created only this, meaning the kingdom of heaven. And God did not depart from it, nor leave it separate from himself. The kingdom of heaven is the dwelling place of the Son of God, who left not his Father and dwells not apart from him. Heaven is not a place nor a condition. It is merely an awareness of perfect oneness and the knowledge that there is nothing else, nothing outside this oneness, and nothing else within. There is nothing outside you. The willingness to remember that's true, accept that it's true, to know it's true, is the willingness to heal the mind and to be free. Now, not in the future, but right now. I often think of my grandmother who used to say, you can get used to hanging if you hang long enough. She was a Southern Belle. She was born in Mississippi, and she had these Southern sayings. And you can get used to hanging if you hang long enough. So we've gotten used to hanging on the cross of crucifixion. And we are the ones that set ourselves free from the crucifixion. We are the ones who set ourselves free from the betrayal. Here's what Jesus says about the crucifixion, one of the things he has to say in here. I elected, this is chapter 6, section 1, paragraph 9. I elected, for your sake and mine, to demonstrate that the most outrageous assault, as judged by the ego, does not matter. So the most, he elected, for your sake and mine, for his sake and everyone else's, to demonstrate, he elected to demonstrate that the most outrageous assault, as judged by the ego, does not matter, because the assault is on the body, right? The crucifixion. As the world judges these things, but not as God knows them, I was betrayed, abandoned, beaten, torn, and finally killed. It was clear that this was only because of the projection of others onto me, since I had not harmed anyone and had healed many. We are still equal as learners, although we do not need to have equal experiences. The Holy Spirit is glad when you can learn from mine and be reawakened by them. That is their only purpose. And that is the only way in which I can be perceived as the way, the truth, and the life. So we can perceive Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life in that he gave us an example to see, to know that the attack and assault on his body does not matter. When you hear only one voice, you are never called on to sacrifice. On the contrary, by being able to hear the Holy Spirit in others, you can learn from their experiences and can gain from them without experiencing them directly yourself. Ha ha ha! This is why I feel so compelled to share. So you don't have to go through decades of suffering and misery at my own making. You can stop right now. You don't have to figure out and wander around in the desert like I did. That's the whole thing here. That's why it's so compelling, because we can learn from each other's journeys, and in fact, we are always doing that. So, by being able to hear the Holy Spirit in others, you can learn from their experiences and can gain from them without experiencing them directly yourself. That is because the Holy Spirit is one, and anyone who listens is inevitably led to demonstrate his way for all, meaning the Holy Spirit's way for all. You are not persecuted, nor was I. You are not asked to repeat my experiences because the Holy Spirit, whom we share, makes this unnecessary. To use my experiences constructively, however, you must still follow my example in how to perceive them. How to perceive them. My brothers and yours are constantly engaged in justifying the unjustifiable. My one lesson, which I must teach as I learned it, is that no perception that is out of accord with the judgment of the Holy Spirit can be justified. I undertook to show this was true in an extreme case, merely because it would serve as a good teaching aid to those whose temptation to give in to anger and assault would not be so extreme. I will with God that none of his sons should suffer. The crucifixion cannot be shared because it is the symbol of projection. But the resurrection is the symbol of sharing, because the reawakening of every son of God is necessary to enable the sonship to know its wholeness. Only this is knowledge. So only truth is knowledge. Only truth is true. Beliefs are not true. So praying to be willing to have realizations of truth every day. And then looking at where we're upset and giving thanks that we feel upset. Notice that we're upset, because that's the indicator that we're clinging to something that's false as though it were true. It's our wake-up call. It's why in the fear and conflict section, Jesus says, don't ask me to take the fear away, because if you don't experience the fear, the upset of the fear, you'll never know when you're wrong-minded. If you don't know when you're wrong-minded, you'll never get out of this place. You'll never awaken. So every upset can, if we choose it, bring us closer to our awakening. But we do have to choose it. We do absolutely have to choose it. You have no idea, this is going back to section 6 in chapter 3, Judgment and the Authority Problem. You have no idea of the tremendous release and deep peace that comes from meeting yourself and your brothers totally without judgment. When you recognize what you are and what your brothers are, you will realize that judging them in any way is without meaning. In A Course in Miracles, Jesus tells us that all betrayal is self-betrayal, incorrectly perceived. So realizations of truth set us free. When we are incorrectly perceiving, we get upset. We get upset because we are the kingdom of heaven, and we cannot hold falsehoods and believe in them, energize them, invest in them, propagate them, foment them, and feel peaceful. It's not possible, and it never will be. It never will be. We will always be agitated in one way or another, whether it's sadness, despair, depression, anger, hurt, whatever it might feel like emotionally, it is because we are misperceiving and we are not valuing the truth. We've become enamored of our story, our perceptions, and our projections. And this is our human experience, but we can find our way out of it. I never thought, never, ever, ever, ever imagined I could be as peaceful as I am when I started this journey. I had no belief in it. I didn't. It seemed impossible to me. I was just hoping to be more loving and more peaceful. Not really loving, really peaceful. And I recognize I still have a ways to go. I do, but I only feel good about it. I don't feel bad about it. I don't judge myself at all when I fall down a hole for a minute, because I don't stay there. And every time I do fall down a hole for a minute, what happens is I have a healing of an old belief that I forgot was operating in my consciousness. So every time I fall down a hole, I have a healing, and then I don't fall in that hole again. That hole is healed. Why is it healed? It's healed because I invoke the Holy Spirit, and I'm willing to let it go. I feel grateful that I recognized, oh, I'm not thinking clearly. It's time to go the other way, and I can go the other way. And I'm so grateful that I don't ever, ever, ever have to go it alone. I cannot be alone. I am not alone. I am one with all. So when we're projecting betrayal onto someone else, we have betrayed ourselves through not taking responsibility for what we see and what we feel. It's very helpful to realize this. It starts to take the sting out of things, and we have to own up to our training of being a victim, blaming others, not taking responsibility. In terms of our spiritual growth, it's basic. We have to take responsibility for how we feel and what interpretations and meanings we give to things, because all of that is optional. Suffering is optional. We can go the other way. And all that's required is our willingness to go the other way. So I had to really look deep at what is it I like about bashing other people and feeling like a victim. Now, in the world right now, it's end of March 2024, there's a lot of turmoil in the world. There's the war in Gaza. There is the war in the Ukraine. There is all kinds of stuff happening in the United States related to the election. There's a tremendous amount of divisiveness. Racism is really, it's always been there, but now it's really coming up for healing, so it's very much in our face. You can always tell who's really upset because they're believing things that aren't true, right? So the people who are really upset, the people who are blaming, and the people who feel like victims, they're not in tune with the truth. So it's incumbent upon us to pray for them and bless them, that they may see the truth, so that there can be peace in this world. So people would say, oh, how could you pray for Putin? How could you pray for the terrorists? How could you pray for them? How could you not? If the peaceful world we desire requires them to be at peace, how could we not? Our blessing them is only going to bring peace to the world. The greatest blessing anyone could have is realizations of truth that set them free from suffering and inflicting suffering on others. So let's pray for those that we don't like. Let's pray for those and not allow ourselves to become angry and hostile and blaming and claiming ourselves as victims, crucified, betrayed. Let's put an end to that. And let's demonstrate that for our friends and families. All right, I'm going to take the little time that I have left here and just let you know there's events coming up. Kieran J. Gardner's class was moved into the beginning of May. Deep Dive in A Course in Miracles. The two events in Scottsdale, Arizona are the Counseling Training Intensive. It's a week-long training. It's open to anyone and everyone. And you don't have to want to be a counselor. You can already have been a therapist for decades. I've had attorneys and accountants and grandmothers and school teachers, all kinds of people take it with tremendous benefit. And I'm following that with a weekend training, how to create and lead workshops that make a difference. And so that's Memorial Day weekend, and the Counseling Training Intensive is the week before it. I also did a Q&A about the intensive for people who had questions. That's a free download. If you go to powerofloveministry.net at /QCTI, the Quantum Counseling Training Intensive. You'll find that there. Also did a free webinar for folks who are interested in creating and leading workshops. Wonderful, wonderful testimonials. People are like, oh my God, since I did that, I now realize I can do this. I can follow my dream. I can follow my passion. So this is exciting. So if you have any interest in being able to be better at leading workshops, classes, online meetings of any kind, presentations, we're doing the in-person event in Scottsdale in May, and then we're going to have an online event in July. If you go to the one in May, you get a huge discount on the one in July. So these are some of the offerings that are coming up, all the details, plus all the free forgiveness workshops at powerofloveministry.net. Let's place our hand on our heart and be grateful and thankful that we're not being crucified and we are not victims. We are grateful to know the truth for ourselves and our brothers and sisters. Our willingness is strong. Our love is powerful. We let it be, so it is.